Welcome, everyone. I will call the Senate Committee on Rules to order. Today, we're going to go a little out of order on the agenda. We're going to start out with a public hearing on SJR 46, and then we'll move into a work session on Senate Bill 225, and then we'll do a public hearing on Senate Bill 229. So I will open a public hearing on SJR 46. Cherie.
Madam Chair and members, Senate Joint Resolution 46 establishes that a proposed initiative law, constitutional amendment, or legislatively ordered referendum that requires the expenditure of public monies must include a proposed source of revenue sufficient to fund the program. Additionally, the bill prohibits a proposed funding source associated with an initiative or a legislatively ordered referendum from drawing on an existing source of revenue or a projected source of revenue. In the event a revenue source is insufficient to cover the expenditure required by an initiative or referendum, SJR 46 authorizes the legislature to reduce the expenditure amount to align with the available supply of the revenue source. There is one amendment being offered. The DAC 1 amendments eliminate references to required expenditures connected with a legislatively ordered ballot measure or citizens initiative. The fiscal impact statement indicates an indeterminate impact associated with this measure, and revenue paperwork indicates no impact associated with this measure. We haven't received the paperwork for the amendment at this time.
Okay, I will call on Senator Knopp. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm State Senator Tim Knope from Senate District 27, which includes Bend, Redmond, Tumalo, and Sun River. And I am here today to advocate for SJR 46, which is a constitutional amendment to the Oregon Constitution. And the idea is quite simple, and that is that, colleagues, as you know, as the legislature, if we are proposing a program, we actually have to fund it and balance the budget. However, through the initiative process, that is not the case. And so I would direct you to what has happened to the lottery funds over the time that the lottery started some, what, 30, almost 40 years ago, I guess now. But basically, as you know, all the lottery funds have more or less been committed through the initiative process, and have essentially taken that revenue out of the hands of the legislature to be able to direct. And in some cases, we may agree with it. In some cases, we may not. However, at the initiative process and the ballot measure level, we have seen multiple instances over the years of the public voting for things that probably we, in many cases, support but don't fund through the ballot measure, and therefore are going to require the legislature to rearrange resources or not do other programs. And as you know, let's say many times during these initiatives, a thoughtful discussion is not had on the details of what ultimately is going to be required by passing these initiatives. And so the goal is essentially to say, we need to preserve the integrity and the power of the legislature, because if we go another 20, 30, 40 years down the road, we may see that the vast majority of the legislature's ability to fund things has essentially been usurped by ballot measure. And I just don't believe that budgeting by ballot measure is the appropriate way to do this. And so the public elects 90 people and a governor, you know, every 2 years or 4 years to come to the legislature, in fact, to achieve a balanced budget. And I want to make sure that proposals in the future that are initiative in nature also are funding their proposal through a revenue source. And so, and not leaving that, you know, basically handing the bill to the legislature, the invoice to the legislature to say, here, pay this. And I mean, you all know that we have some challenges right now, and that some of those challenges exist because of current ballot measures, which I bet many of us supported, but yet are still a significant problem. And so I just think this is worth the discussion with the people of Oregon about essentially drawing a truce and saying, hey, if this is really important, then you need to attach, your tax increase, because this measure says you can't use projected revenue. So in other words, you can't use the projected increase in revenue as your opportunity to fund your measure. It has to be, new revenue, not projected, not current, within the legislative, within the state budget. And so that is essentially the proposal, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator, wasn't this an issue that was challenged in court in the last 5 or 6 years? Seems like there was something like this where there was a measure that had the requirement, and the court had ruled that you don't have to do that.
Yeah, Chair Burdick, Senator Beyer, I do not recall that, and legislative counsel did not indicate that there was any particular issue with this when they wrote the LC. So, I mean, I would encourage you to have them come in and talk to you if that is a concern.
I guess this would take care of it because you're putting that in the constitutional language.
Yeah.
I think that they've had ballot measures where they've tried to fund, but it became a new tax, and now you have a ballot measure with two different purposes.
So, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So you had to do separate ones for it. This would allow that to change and say you have to do them. So, and it becomes a constitutional amendment. I think it works. My question is, if there is a tax source out there, say, let's just go with gas tax because you want to build something. Can you put in a 2% raise? So you're still using a current thing, but you're increasing it as a funding source for whatever it is you want. Say it's has to do with roads or something, and can you put in a addition to a current tax to be the funding source?
Chair Burdick, Senator Roblin, that's my understanding. For instance, if somebody wanted to raise the or create a sales tax or raise the income tax to fund X, I think they could do that, but it would have to be obviously in addition to what is currently proposed. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a brand new tax.
Okay.
I think that's clear from legislation. But again, when you go to work session on this, I just trying to be confident on this. You would definitely want to have LC make sure that we have it lined out properly and have all those questions answered by LC, just to make sure that we don't need amendments to the legislation.
And follow up. As I read, I think it does this too, and that is when you have them combined, if it passes, they are both implemented.
Correct. And part of the reason for the dash one is because it would essentially allow them to be separate.
Yeah.
And so you could have one pass and one not. And that's why I was like, yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because the whole goal of this is really to make sure that whatever you're proposing is funded.
So tell me again about the dash one. I know that came from you.
Yeah, so the dash one, I did a little hand engrossing for those of you who have been here a while. And so it used to read, an initiative law or initiative amendment to the Constitution that requires the expenditure of public monies shall include as part of the proposed law or amendment or in connection with the proposed law or amendment. That line is struck in the dash ones. And so now it just reads, include as part of the proposed law or amendment a proposed revenue source sufficient to fund the expenditure if the proposed law or amendment is adopted by the people. And so, in other words, they're together. They're not separate anymore. So, because it left the option to have a separate one, and I just thought, for what I'm trying to do, it makes more sense, I think, to just have it all included in one. And I think on page two, it deals with the issue of whether or not it's constitutional to basically have the funding source in with whatever it is that your program that you're trying to create. Right. So it's not a, yeah, so it's not a two, basically a two subject.
Right. Kind of reminds me of the marijuana issue where local governments, right, they voted to opt out of the marijuana program, but they voted for the tax.
Right.
So, which they don't receive,
right,
unless they opt
in.
So I'm grateful for the Dash 1 amendment. So can you make this retroactive?
I don't believe so. But I wanted to start the discussion now because I think I just really see going forward, trouble on the horizon as it relates to this, because there are a lot of interest groups who want to do all kinds of great things, and that is wonderful. But we still have limitations as it relates to the revenue that we have, or even the revenue that we can potentially generate. And if that revenue gets spent essentially through the initiative process and doesn't go through the same process that we go through, which, as you all know, even in the majority, it's really hard to pass your stuff, to get it done. And it should be hard. And so when you hear 30-second commercials about, apple pie and motherhood, and, everybody thinks that's great and we should vote for that and fund it, and, well, okay, we all agree, but again, where's the money going to come from? And we need to have that discussion along with those proposals that are coming through the initiative process.
Other questions, comments? Thank you for bringing this. You are absolutely correct. We need to
Sounds
seriously.
Like you've been talking to Senator Devlin.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you all.
Okay, that completes our sign-up list. We will close the public hearing on SJR 46 and open a work session on Senate Bill 225. Cherie.
Madam Chair and members, Senate Bill 225 specifies that the treasurer of a political committee or a petition committee is personally responsible for the performance of specified filing requirements and duties related to the committee statements of organization, expenditures, and contributions. Additionally, the bill prescribes an effective date 91 days after the 2017 Legislative Assembly adjourned sine die. There is one amendment being offered in relation to this measure. The Dash 1 amendments would permit the treasurer of a political or petition committee to designate a liable individual for the purposes of certain campaign finance violations and requires the treasurer to include the designee's name and address on the committee statement of organization. Fiscal paperwork indicates a minimal impact associated with this measure, and revenue indicates no impact associated with this measure as amended.
Okay, colleagues, this is we had a discussion on this before, and this was Senator Boquist's amendment that I have reviewed as well, and the Secretary of State, I can see by nods, has reviewed it. So I think we're ready to roll on this. Senator Farioli, there's a Dash 1 amendment.
Thank you, Madam President. I move the Dash 1 amendment be included into Senate Bill 225. That is to say that Senate Bill 225 be amended to include the Dash 1 amendment.
Senator Farioli, you did it right the first time.
Whatever.
Senator Farioli has moved the Dash 1 amendment into Senate Bill 225. Is there any discussion? Any objections?
Question.
So ordered.
Just a question.
Yes.
We have the treasurer may designate an elector. Does there have to be an acceptance by the person designated? Is that implied, Steve?
Can we bring? That's a good question.
I don't think it's realistic, but you could see a scenario that I've got a political committee in without telling him I've designated Arnie Roblin as a responsible party.
They do that all the time.
Understandable.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Steve Trout, State Election Director. And to the question, our policy, our process would be as laid out in the bill, that in that statement of organization, that the individual would be identified. We would then take that information and through a process confirm with that individual that was named that they are willing to accept that responsibility.
You'd refine this under administrative rule or something to say that?
Madam Chair, Senator Beyer, correct. Through our process of administering that through our manuals, and so you would not be able to name Senator Roper.
Madam Chair.
Senator Beyer, yes.
Steve, with the designation, does that absolve the treasurer of co-liability?
Madam Chair, Senator Beyer, that's my understanding of what the intent of the amendment was for.
Okay.
And you would require a signature, I assume, for the designee.
So, Madam Chair, a signature or some authentication that we could do electronically through OraStar, so that if we could confirm that this person had the token or whatever, that we could validate their identity, that they were authorized to do that either wet signature or through an authentication process digitally.
We're discussing your -1 amendment to Senate Bill 225.
Right, and what he just said is that you would have, if you were the treasurer, so you have to electronically validate that, and you were the treasurer on one of these. You probably didn't know that, did you? That's why you need to vote for this thing.
I have no. Let's vote quick. Sure you don't want the emergency clause?
No. I assume this is intended or is trying to respect the fact that the business that we have now is we have a lot of companies that are doing this reporting. And we're designating C&E systems. And
right. If you recall, we discussed this before, what you have is a whole series. You have treasurers, and then you have alternate filers. In many cases, the treasurer might be a layperson, director or something. Mm-hmm. And then you have the alternate filers, the filer. And, of course, in many cases, those are professional sides. You guys have your list on your side. We have our list on our side. And then occasionally companies get sold, and the person who's on the line is no longer involved in the company at all. They're completely gone, and it's the other person just kept doing business. And so the goal here is, of course, let's identify if it's a professional treasurer, they know that they assume liability. If it's not a professional treasurer, then who in the organization is going to be designated to assume that liability? And it's that professional issue right there. And then everybody starts pointing their finger, well, I didn't, they did it, so on and so forth. And this actually came, as he knows, from a case in which the treasurer had to pay, and she didn't have anything to do with any of it. She didn't know a single thing about it. She hadn't made any of the filings.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm fine.
Any further discussion on the -1 amendment? Any objections? So ordered. Senator Farrelly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that Senate Bill 225, as amended, be moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Farrelly has moved Senate Bill 225 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Thank you for your work on this. Senator Boquist, you are now the carrier.
You know, peachy keen.
All right.
I can't even explain 229, but she did a fine job of writing a 5-page dissertation on it.
With that, we will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 229.
Madam Chair and members, Senate Bill 229 makes various technical, administrative, clarifying, and conforming changes regarding statutes regulating campaign finance, initiative referendum and recall, and incorporation petitions, elections, candidate nomination filings, and hand counting of specified election contests. There is one amendment being offered in association with this measure. The -3 amendments eliminate conflicting proposed language related to treasurer liability, which was just discussed in Senate Bill 225, and proposed language requiring electronic submission of specified candidate filings. Additionally, the amendment eliminates proposed language prescribing nomination filing requirements and candidacy withdrawal timelines. The -3 amendments recast proposed language related to the hand counting of certain election contests to specify that a requisite number of ballots be included in each batch and to increase the current timeline for the occurrence of the hand count. Lastly, the amendment includes write-in candidates in the definition of candidate and modifies the date when recall committees must begin to file financial documentation. There is no revenue impact associated with the -3 amendments. However, we have not received the fiscal paperwork.
Okay. Let's call our friends from the Secretary of State's office to help us work our way through this.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Steve Trout, State Election Director, here to present Senate Bill 229 with the -3 amendments. This is our every session bill to come forward with technical cleanups and non-controversial changes, simply to things that we've identified in previous election cycles. This bill, it's a little bit longer than usual because it goes back and actually covers activities of not only Secretary Richardson, but most of it from Secretary Brown and Secretary Atkins. So we've got 4 years of cleanup that were coming forward to propose. I circulated summaries to you, and I know it's been posted on OLIS of the different sections. And rather than going through everyone in gory detail, I'd be happy to answer questions that you may have. Again, the intent is pure cleanup, and we're not trying to propose big policy changes here.
Okay. Senator Boquist, do you have any questions on this?
Madam Chair, I think you're probably asking me because I killed portions of this in 2176 last time, which is why they're back. So, no, Madam Chair, I see that some of the talking points that I had on the floor on the last day of session that ended up in this bill not going forward are gone. I haven't actually looked through it, and I need to look through his material, but this does look more like a cleanup, a more pure cleanup than the bill I killed on the floor last time around. So I will do due diligence, you know, as soon as I get done with another transportation meeting today and look through this. But it does look like it's just the cleanup portions back there and not my talking points from the last time. I'm looking to her right because he helped me draft those talking points, so he knows what they are. That's what it does. It does look like a cleanup versus what I did last time. But I will read it between now and the next meeting.
Senator Roblin, did you?
I'm good.
Okay. Any other comments, questions?
Just one.
Senator Beyer.
Steve, this appears to remove the requirement that the signature sheets on initiatives referendum have to have the proposal, whatever that is, attached to it. I guess they have to carry one. Is there any concern that you could have petition gatherers out there just getting people to sign things and then not have any idea what it is they're signing on to?
So, Madam Chair, Senator Beyer, as you stated, every circulator would have to have the text with them. This is just removing that requirement of having it physically attached. We'd had some challenges with petitions being rejected because they weren't attached or they'd become detached. And so that was the proposed solution.
There's probably no way to make that different.
Other questions, comments? Thank you. Hang
thank
out
you.
In case we
okay.
Get more questions. Calls Rob Bovet.
Welcome. Chair Burdick, members of the committee, for the record, Rob Bovet, Legal Counsel, Association of Oregon Counties, here today appearing on behalf of the Oregon Association of County Clerks in strong support of this bill, which actually has a couple of technical fixes for the clerks as well to the statutes that they care about for housekeeping in relation to batch count and no-sig envelopes. So happy to answer any questions, like Steve, that you might have related to any of the sections that I might know about. But that's pretty much it. It's a good bill, should pass.
Okay. questions?
No, I'm
okay. No questions, it looks like. We will be holding this over, and so there may be further discussion. Okay, that's all our sign up. Anybody else? Okay, we will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 229. And that completes our business. We are adjourned. And that completes our business. We are adjourned.